The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now we're joined by psychotherapist, author and rock of sense, Iseult White, for our weekly kids clinic. Iseult, we're talking about pets and the importance or otherwise of having pets. Are they a good thing for kids in general?
Listen, they're a great thing for kids. Whether they're a good thing for the parents is another matter. So think carefully before you go there.
Oh, God, absolutely.
Yeah, look, they're great for kids. They do a number of different things. They give the chance for kids to sort of have a relationship, a live relationship with this little creature that's not judging them in any way or answering back. But also may have demands that they need to meet, including, you know, looking after, feeding, etc. But may also at times not want their attention. So it does actually give them learning in how to be in relationship. I think for kids who are having a difficult time, pets can be huge. Like you'll often hear when you're talking in therapy, somebody who's had a difficult childhood talk about how meaningful their pets were to them. So I think these can be really deeply meaningful relationships.
I instinctively know what you mean, but tell us what it is about having a pet that can help a kid who's maybe struggling in other areas.
It's the warmth and the safe space and the kind of attention and love that isn't judging them or demanding anything from them. But obviously this is more cats and dogs than goldfish, right?
Goldfish don't give much
snakes.
Back.
Snakes. Lizards.
Snakes. And personally, I can't have rodents in my house, no. But apparently they're great pets.
Can't do hamsters or any of that, no.
You can't, I know you're both saying that it's great for the kids, but not so much for the parents, but you can't have more low maintenance, like, I've had cats and dogs almost all the time. Cats are quite low maintenance.
Cats are definitely low maintenance. And cats, you know, give you that bit of affection at times. And
do
that.
They?
Cats and affection?
They do. And that kind of, not really having you at the moment.
Oh, I've seen plenty of that from cats, all right.
We have a cat, and Chief, if you're listening, it's nice to talk about you. He is quite affectionate. Like, he'll come up and lie in your lap or lie on your shoulder, and he purrs and winds himself around your legs and all that kind of stuff. I know people say maybe they're winding them around your legs to try and topple you over and kill you, but I don't know that that's true. He does, by the way, answer back. You said they don't answer back, but he does, because if you're telling him not to do something like scratch the furniture or... You know, you can see when he's looking at the kitchen kind of worked up that he wants to jump up. And if you say no, which you do, he will turn around and go, meow. Like he knows when he's in trouble and he totally answers back.
Yeah, but I mean more like won't be given out to them, out to the kids. But you're right. I mean, I have a poodle that does entirely her own thing when she feels like it. She just looks at me and goes, no.
Yeah. But there is a kind of an unconditional love thing between them. I see my kids are hugely... pro animal and adore more or less any fluffy thing, you know, any living creature. And I think that that's a very good benefit for them. But I also think having them means that one of the reasons we got our first dog when the kids were small was because I'd noticed they were a bit wary and nervous around dogs. Mm. And I had grown up with dogs and I thought, I'm not really having this. So I got a dog and it certainly knocked that on the head. I had to pull the little fellow, like he'd be walking over to hug random pit bulls that were on chains with people and say, oh, a dog. And you're like, no, don't go over to every dog. But it certainly removes the fear of animals, I think.
Yes. And I think that is a useful thing too. And the other thing I was going to say as I was listening to you there is that mammals, as opposed to, say, reptiles, have very similar nervous systems to us. And we can co-regulate our nervous system off another mammal the way that we can co-regulate our nervous system off another person. So if somebody is distressed, like there's loads of research to show that petting your cat or dog or horse or whatever, just the physical contact and engaging with that animal's nervous system regulates your nervous system.
So like the way people have emotional support animals. Uh-huh. Your own pet is kind of one of those.
Absolutely.
What about their emotional development? Children's emotional development, not the cats, because they don't have any emotional development as far as I can
Stop
see.
Stop hating on cats.
Joking aside, what about I presume it encourages responsibility, care, all those kind of things, does it?
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, now, if there's a parent out there thinking of getting an animal, don't think your child is going to automatically start looking after the animal all the time.
Even though
they've promised they will absolutely.
They're not gonna.
But they will end up looking after the animal a certain amount, and you can certainly encourage them to look after the animal more and more. And that teaches a sense of responsibility, but also that that other creatures have needs and that we have to respect their needs. Like somebody has to put water in the bowl, somebody has to give them food. And then I think it also teaches them about these longer term things of sort of those existential questions of what death and loss and illness in a somewhat less potent way than obviously when a grandparent dies or somebody close dies. You know, I mean, I do remember we had goldfish and the goldfish kept dying. We had about three of them. And I thought the kids would be distressed when they came in to hear the goldfish had died. And that had been, whatever. But it's not the same about cats and dogs and hamsters and other animals. I think that just even being able to talk about those things, look, the dog is getting older, you know, we have to think about that. That's a really useful thing.
Our dog Jess died a few years ago and I have to say my children were devastated. It was like a death in the family. They were actually devastated. They obviously not like a grandparent or not like whatever, but it was a genuine thing and we buried her and all of that. And literally, it was everyone just sobbing and awful with the whole thing of it. So I do think there's a lesson to be learned. I dread the day that the cat goes.
The loss is huge, but it does repair, you know, on a faster timeline, typically, than the loss of a human person.
Of course.
But the loss is huge for everybody. That's the thing within a family. Then it's also a joint grieving and it shows how we can support each other. And it just gives a lot of messages around how to be around these things.
Shane.
I was just going to ask, what about things like getting kids to do chores around the pet? Cleaning up, bringing them for walks, all that kind of stuff. Does that encourage responsibility or am I...
No, it absolutely does. No, it absolutely does. Absolutely. And then it's just... All I would caution is you don't want to believe that even though they said they were going to do everything that they will. So you as the adult also have to be adult about that. But absolutely encouraging them. And it's also a great way, I think, with children who are developing dependence about being out and about in the neighbourhood by themselves. Like, I feel like the age that you can let your if you have two children, the age you can let two children take the dog for a walk in a specific neighbourhood or park is a lot earlier than you would let them just head off and go out to roam around the neighbourhood where they're going out with the dog on the lead and they're bringing the dog back. So it gets them out and about and independent.
And maybe lastly, is there also something in it just in terms of them realising the world isn't only about them, the kids, I mean, because I find, like a particularly a youngest child has no one to care for. Like the older siblings might have had a bit of responsibility towards the younger ones, but maybe not even that much. But learning that the cat or the dog or the whatever you have at home needs things and has a sort of a little independent life that you can worry about and care about. Is that kind of good too in terms of empathy and all of those things?
Oh, absolutely. I think it helps build empathy and compassion and also greater understanding of boundaries and limits because as well as that, the caring and the wanting to pet and stuff, you also get the pushback from the animal that says, Ara, leave me alone right now. And it's really important for kids, and especially kids who are on their own in a family or younger kids, to learn that pushback. You know, that's an important part of growing up, is to learn that people don't always want your attention. Yeah. Sometimes they want their own space.
A dog might put up with that, but a cat will probably tell you that they don't want you.
Even a dog, you know, with a certain amount of, you know, over involvement from a child, even a dog will kind of go, enough already, you know.
All right. But overall, we think a good thing.
I think massively good. I think I see really personally no downsides to it other than your responsibility for as a parent.
I have heard loads of parents having that argument with, because you said you wanted a dog and you don't do this and you don't do that. Is that just on you as a parent? Don't give them the power to decide whether to get a pet or not. And if you do get a pet, you are actually the one who decided it.
Yeah.
So there's no point in blaming them for just being kids.
And no point in getting into a fight with them for just being kids. And I just think in general, the less extraneous fights you can get into with your kids, where you can focus on the really important things instead, the better life goes.
I have to just read one final text. I got a rabbit when I was 12, says this texter. Coco, I thought we would have a great life together. He used to scream every time I touched him. I had a book all about rabbits that told me rabbits only scream when they are in extreme terror. He despised me.
I personally, you know, I personally am inclined to think cats and dogs are where it's at as far as pets go. But
with,
I mean,
I'm
I don't want to.
Bishop Brennan when it comes to rabbits, definitely.
I don't know. I mean, I'll just have to trust the people that tell me they form deep relationships with rabbits and other rodent-like creatures.
He despised me is just too funny. But thank you, Esau.
Esau, wife, thank you indeed for popping into us. The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.